You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Locked On Mets is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. For the first time this season, the Mets were swept in a series, but it was only a two-game set, and it was against a really good team in the Houston Astros. I'll talk about that series in the first segment. In the second segment, we'll talk about Carlos Carrasco's injury. He left his start with some back tightness. I'll talk about how the Mets can manage without him for the next couple of weeks here. It's not really that big of a deal, in my opinion. Don't think they have to go and trade for a starter, but I know that's the conversation right now. In the final segment today, we're going to do a little bit of Throwback Thursday. I am getting sick and tired seeing Mets fans being pessimistic about this season. I just want to pull a couple things that will put into context how good this Mets team has been this year. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter, at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing at JustBaseball.com, where I work as the managing editor, where I also host the State of the Division podcast on Thursdays, where we go through everything going on in the National League East. Today, we talked about which players should make the All-Star team out of all of the teams in the NL East. Let's now talk, though, about this series. It wasn't a good one. And particularly, we'll talk about the game today. Bottom of the first inning, the Mets were in a massive hole. Carlos Carrasco got jumped on, I mean, right out the gate. He walks Jose Altuve to lead off the game. Michael Brantley doubles him home. So it's already 1-0, two batters in. Alex Bregman then hits a two-run homer. And then Yordan Alvarez hits a home run. Just like that, 4-0 Astros. The Mets got a run back in the third. Dom Smith back on the team, first start. He doubled. And you had Tomas Nito advance into third. Brandon Nimmo drove him in with a sacrifice fly. Mets were down 4-1. Then Yordan Alvarez hit a home run. Makes it 5-1. And then Carlos Carrasco walks Kyle Tucker and then exits the game with lower back tightness, which we're going to talk about in the next segment. I wouldn't get too concerned about that just yet. But obviously at the time, we didn't know what the injury was. So panic bells are ringing. Mets fans are crying on social media. I'm seeing it. People are freaking out. We got to stop being so pessimistic here, all right? But to kind of round out the game, you have Yoan Lopez, who did a great job for the Mets, got 8 outs in the middle of that game, really gave the Mets a chance. In the 6th inning, Brandon Nimmo drew a walk. Starling Marte doubled him home. Francisco Lindor got a base hit to put runners at the corners for Pete Alonso, who hit a sacrifice fly. Just like that, the Mets are only down by 2 runs. Luis Guillorme then doubles, and now you're sitting there with 2 runners in scoring position, down by 2. Unfortunately, that's about as close as they got. Mark Canha fell behind in the count 1-2, battles back and draws a walk, so now the bases were juiced for Eduardo Escobar. He popped out. Don Smith came up. He struck out. Now, I totally understand frustrated Mets fans being upset with Escobar and Don in that spot. What I will say, though, is Ryan Stanek was on the mound, pumping in 101-mile-per-hour gas at times, and he had a splitter that dropped off the table. So as much as you want to talk about the hitters not coming through, there's guys who are paid a lot of money on the other side. I know Francisco Lindor says before, the guys on the other side drive nice cars too. It's a kind of common phrase among players. The other team can beat you. And that was the best bullpen in baseball. That is the best bullpen in baseball that beat you. I'm not trying to give the Mets excuses. They don't need excuses. They've been great all year. But I'm still seeing panic. And I don't get it. You know, obviously it wasn't a good series. The Mets were outscored 13-5. And the last time they won a game in Houston, Chris Capiano was the starter. It's obviously been brutal anytime they head to Houston. That's why it's a good thing they're in the American League now. And you certainly hope that if the Mets were fortunate enough to make it to the World Series, they wouldn't have to go to Houston because that's a place they don't want to play. But you're talking about a 43-25 baseball team on the other side. You're talking about a rotation that's been in the top five in the league. Not just the American League, in Major League Baseball. And again, the statistic, best bullpen in the game, that beat you. Particularly if you're talking about the bullpen in this game. So Do I draw conclusions from a two-game series where the Mets got beat from the likes of Yordan Alvarez hitting three home runs, the best designated hitter in the game, Jose Altuve and contributing, Alex Bregman hitting a home run, Michael Brantley, Kyle Tucker, all great players. You lost to a good team. It's okay. The Mets have played 22 series this year, at least by my quick math going through the schedule. So I apologize if I'm miscounting a series here or a series there. But again, from my count, 22 series played, 16 series wins, 4 series losses, 2 splits. They're winning over 70% of the series that they play in. And you have the gall to find a reason to complain? I'm sorry. To me, it says a lot more about you if you're poking holes in this Mets team, if you're finding things to be mad at, than it says about the ball club that's been on the field. Because the ball club that's been on the field has been doing their jobs and giving you an incredible season to watch through this point, as we're almost in July. And I don't even want to hear any comparisons to last year's team. These are two completely different ball clubs. And we're going to explore that a little bit in the final segment for our Throwback Thursday. But first, we got to address the Carlos Carrasco injury. How can the Mets manage their rotation without him if he is to miss a little bit of time? I'll talk about that in just a minute. But whether you are ready to pop the question or if you're celebrating a milestone moment, find jewelry as unique as her with the modern convenience of online shopping at BlueNile.com. Build the engagement ring of her dreams with Blue Nile, as they have simple online tools that let you choose the diamond shape, the size, the clarity, as well as the setting style. Blue Nile's bench jewelers will then handcraft her perfect engagement ring. Each ring is one of a kind. You can celebrate life's special moments with fine jewelry, as Blue Nile has jewelry experts on hand 24/7, available via phone or chat to help you find a memorable gift at every budget. Make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com. Locked On Mets listeners get $50 off purchases of $500 or more. This podcast exclusive includes engagement. Use the code Locked On. Again, that's code Locked On. Plus, every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever peace by going to BlueNile.com today. So Carlos Carrasco exited the game today with back tightness, which among all the injuries it could have been is probably the best case scenario. It's not a shoulder. It's not an elbow. It's not a forearm. It's not an oblique or a lat. It's not even a lower leg injury like a hamstring or something like that that could have really plagued him for a while. It's a tight back. They're going to get an MRI on it. He wasn't throwing the ball that well anyway. I think that's probably partially why they pulled him. It was, hey, you don't have it. You're pitching through something. Let's just get you checked out. Let's not risk further injury. And I know that anytime you see a trainer and you're a Mets fan, you immediately think this guy's done for 2 months. But I think what we've learned this year is maybe the Mets are just being more precautionary. Maybe that's a Buck Showalter thing. Let's make sure that this one small injury doesn't turn into something bigger. And maybe in the past, guys stayed out there too long. And maybe that's what led to subsequent injuries that were worse. And I'm not saying the Mets are going to avoid the injury bug all year. And they've certainly gone through their fair share of it. Their best two pitchers have been out. That said, let's not jump off a cliff the first 5 seconds after someone exits a game. Let's take some time. Let's have a deep breath for a minute, please. Because after the game, Carlos Carrasco said he's fine. Now he'll get an MRI. We'll see what happens. But he said he's fine. So the way I look at it, this is probably a non-issue. But let's just say it is. Let's just say Carrasco needs to go on the IL for a 15-day stint. And how are you possibly going to get by over the next couple of days? Well, you got 3 off days over the next 8. So that just solves everything for you, honestly. So I just want to break down what could happen here for the pitching alignment, just to show you how much of a non-issue this Carlos Carrasco injury is for at least the remainder of this month. So for the first 2 games in the Mets series in Miami, you got Taijuan Walker and Chris Bassitt. Max Scherzer is pushing to start Sunday. Now, there's 2 schools of thought here. You start Scherzer Sunday against the Marlins, or you hold him back a couple more days, you got an off day on Monday, and maybe you start him for the first game back in Citi Field against the Houston Astros, the team that just beat up on you. I don't know. I don't know what's better or worse for him. It's an extra day or two, so maybe that's a good thing. Maybe Scherzer wants to stay on regular rest and keep going, and I would just defer to Scherzer's judgment. whichever game he wants to start, and whatever the doctors agree he's capable of starting, let him back out there for that. But right now, the fact that you got Scherzer coming back, that alone makes this a little bit easier to swallow. Because let's be honest, the Mets have been getting by for a while with Trevor Williams in the rotation. I understand that that's not the perfect fix, but it's at least decent enough that I don't think you want to, let's just say, trade 7 years or 6 years of Mark Vientos for a year and a half of a four or three starter. I just don't see the value in that. Now, maybe at the deadline, things change. We have to see how these injuries progress. But in the meantime, I don't think this is a pressing issue. So as I said, you got Taiwan Walker and Chris Bassett, first two games against the Marlins. Either David Peterson, who last started on Monday, so he'd be starting on 5 days rest anyway on Sunday, and the last time out, he pitched against the Marlins, went 5 1/3, gave up 6 hits, walked 2, had 7 strikeouts, did not allow a run. So I kind of like that. I kind of like throwing Peterson right back out there against the Marlins. Got a day off. Then you can go Scherzer for the first game of that series against the Astros. If not Scherzer, you can go Peterson. Now, Taiwan Walker will be ready to start on Wednesday. So next two series, you got coverage without Carrasco. You got Thursday off. Then Chris Bassett will be good to start game one of the following series, which is against the Texas Rangers. And that is the opening of a 17-day stretch where they'll play 17 games in a row before the All-Star break. That is starting on Friday, July 1st. So you got Bassett to start that series. Then you have either Peterson or Scherzer to start game two, depending on who started that previous Sunday. The other starter can then go on the following Sunday. So right there, even without Carlos Carrasco or Trevor Williams, you have coverage with Peterson, Scherzer, Carrasco and Bassett. That's coverage to get you through the next week and change. And obviously, Scherzer can suffer a setback and that changes everything. But as of now, no indication of that. He felt good in his start. And if he had a setback, if he woke up feeling stiff, I got a feeling we would have heard something by now. Now, again, maybe you push until Tuesday, give him a little extra time. But even with that, the Mets will be fine. And from that point on, you're talking about still potentially having a rotation of what? Scherzer, Carrasco, Bassett, Walker, Peterson. So where is the complaining? You know, obviously if Carrasco goes down, and this is more serious than it appears, you got to have Trevor Williams in there. But I don't think that is the end-all be-all. And I think when you're talking about a Mets team that has been great all year with their offense, allow that group to continue to carry you into the break. Don't make any panic moves. It's just like when we saw James McCann go down. It's all right, we'll see what we can get out of Mazika and Nito. And they never needed to make a move. I think they're going to continue to be patient because there's no reason to forfeit 6 potential years of control over a future star if you're trading one of your top-tier prospects just to maybe get by a little bit. At the deadline, if you find out that Jacob DeGrom's not going to pitch this year, or you find out that Carrasco's out, or anything that can come up before that, you're not going to get McGill back, then you got to make a move. But until then, what we've seen this year is the Mets were 8 deep going to spring training with their rotation, and that has been enough depth to get them through this point. The other options aren't great internally. I don't want to see Thomas Sabucky take another start. Jose Budo looked great early in the season in Double A. He's gone through some struggles recently. I don't expect him up this year. But the 8 guys they have been good enough up to this point, and they still haven't gotten anything out of DeGrom. So we'll see how this progresses, but the Mets have the luxury over the next 8 days that they don't even have to think about this. They have enough arms. Their bullpen will be fresh even as well. So if you had to do a bullpen game, let's just say Carrasco does go down and Scherzer can't pitch, they still could get by for a little bit here until they have to figure out what they're going to do. But I saw a lot of alarm bells ringing. It just frustrates me to no end. Appreciate the season you're watching. And that's what we're going to talk about next for a Throwback Thursday. I'm going to talk about the first 70 games of a season. And I'm also going to talk about winning percentages in Mets franchise history and try to put into some context how good this team has been so far. But our next partner has a product that I literally use every day, and that is Athletic Greens. I wanted something that would bring more vitamins and nutrients into my diet, but I didn't want to swallow a bunch of pills or use a bunch of different types of vitamins and try to figure out what works for me. It's so much easier with Athletic Greens. Worth one delicious scoop in the morning in a cold glass of water, I'm absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, and whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help start my day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, your recovery, your focus, and aging. It's why they have over 7,000 five-star reviews, and it's why they're recommended by pro athletes. It costs you less than $3 a day, making it cheaper than your cold brew habit. It's the single best thing you can do for your body in under 60 seconds. And make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of their immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/MLB Network. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/MLB Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Today is a throwback Thursday, and I've been slacking a bit on giving you throwback Thursday content this season. So I want to go back in time a little bit and try to put into context how good this Mets team is playing. So we're going to start with winning percentage. How frequently do they win baseball games, right? Now, this is a 70-game sample. We've seen other Mets teams collapse a little bit. So there is no guarantee that they'll continue to play at this clip. But the clip you're seeing, relatively unprecedented. They have a 633 winning percentage on the season. The best winning percentage in franchise history, the 1986 Mets, of course, the best team this franchise has ever seen, 108 wins, was 667. There's only been four teams in franchise history that have won at a 600 clip. You have the 1988 Mets, 625, the 1969 Mets, 617, the 1985 Mets, 605. And an honorary induction, a team that got so close. You want to round it up, you can. The 2006 Mets at 599. Now, looking at some of the other best teams in franchise history, in 99, they had a 595 winning percentage. And in 2000, they had a 580 winning percentage. There's only been seven teams in franchise history that have won at least 94 games. The Mets are on pace to win more than that by a lot. Now, they only have 11 teams in franchise history who have even won 90 games. And this is a 61-year history. So as we are watching this team, I understand where the trauma comes from, where the pessimism comes from. I get it. Been there. I've been watching this team for 26 years. Guess I only remember about 23 of them. But regardless, I totally can empathize with any fan that always is going to have that doubt that the New York Mets will be successful. But that does not give you the license to just have completely irrational takes and to suddenly be concerned that the sky is falling, that the bullpen will never be good again, that the rotation needs two more arms, even though they have eight, and even though they're about to get their two best ones back. That the lineup needs a complete overhaul. That's been one of the best. I just don't have time for any of that. And I get frustrated when I see it on my timeline. And a little secret about this job here that I do covering the Mets and covering baseball is I got to be on Twitter. I can't avoid it. I can't avoid seeing it. Some of you are commenting on some of the stuff that we're posting and talking about how bad this is for the Mets. Because how dare they lose two games in a row against one of the best teams in baseball, in the Astros. So then we talk about 70-game starts, and I wasn't going to go through, you know, the 61-year franchise history and dive in season by season by season by season and pull the best 70-game stretch. But I did decide to go back over the last 10 full seasons just to get a sense of what have we watched over the past decade and compare it to what we're seeing this year. So far this year, the Mets are 45 and now 26, but they were 45 and 25 heading through their first 70 games. Now, in the past 10 years, there's never been a team that's even won 40 games in their first 70. It's been a couple that have gotten close. Most recently last year, the Mets were 39 and 31, but They ended up falling off. You have the 2019 Mets, opposite end of the spectrum, 34-36, had a better second half. Didn't quite get to 90 wins, but a good season still. You go to 2018, 31-39, 2017, 31-39, 2016, 38-32, 2015, 36-34, 2014, 31-39, 2013, 29-41, 2000, I lost my train of thought. I lost my count there. We got what? It was 15. That was 14. That was 13. 13 was 29-41. 12 is 38-32. And then 11 is 34-36. And for a bonus, 2010, they were shockingly 40-30. I mean, who remembers that? So that just stretches past my 10-year window I was talking about. The last 10 seasons of 162 games, obviously, we're throwing out 2020. There was that year in 2010 where the Mets somehow started the year 40-30. And so if you want to look back at the 2010 Mets and say that is why we can panic as Mets fans, because they started 40-30 and they finished 79-83, fine. But if you look at that lineup and compare it to this one, just to read it off for you for a throwback Thursday, so you got Mets legend Rod Barajas, Ike Davis starting first baseman. Not a bad year for Ike. A little 19 home runs, 33 doubles, triple. Gotta like it. Got Luis Castillo at age 34, mind you. You got Jose Reyes. You had David Wright. Those were obviously your two linchpins. Jason Bay in left. Angel Pagan, one of the better players on the team. Jeff Francoeur, of course. Gotta love Frenchie. And you had other guys. Carlos Beltran only played in 64 games. You had Ruben Tejada, Josh Tolley, Alex Cora. Some of the pitchers, you had a really great starting rotation of Mike Pelfrey, Johan Santana. Actually, not a bad rotation if I'm really looking at it, because you had Santana with a 2.98 ERA. You had R.A. Dickey with a 2.84 ERA and Pelfrey at 3.66. John Neese at 4.20. Francisco Rodriguez was the closer. K-Rod, 2.20 ERA, 25 saves. Oh, my God. Setup, man. Hisanori Takahashi. My guy, Tak. Oh, you got to love Tak. Is that his only year with the Mets? Takahashi, absolute legend. My dad is laughing hysterically and smiling right now as he listens to this. He's our guy. Only 1 year with the Mets, 2010. He was 35 years old and, stuck around until he was 38. Not bad for Tak there. 3.99 career for Hisanori Takahashi. Bottom line that I'm trying to get to here. What we've watched this season is a team that's been better than anything we've seen over the past decade plus. And I am tired of seeing people look for the negative. Try to be positive. The Mets get swept by the Marlins this weekend, then I'll let you get mad. But until that happens, until the Braves get a little bit closer, sit back, enjoy the show. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan. Follow the show at Locked On Mets on tomorrow's show. We'll have a Friday farm report for you. We'll preview what lies ahead against the Marlins. Thank you for making this your first listen today. Now for your second listen, check out Locked On MLB, hosted by Paul Francis Sullivan. Locked On MLB is where you want to go to stay up to date with everything going on in Major League Baseball. You can follow Locked On MLB wherever you get podcasts.